before we get into the sermon, I wanted to play something that it's a 4-minute video, something that Brian shared with us this morning, and ties together with the sermon itself. We'll be in Psalm 96. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be glorified, Lord, that your word would go forth out, that you would be magnified and we would be lowered, that your word would bring about change, that we would be about kingdom business, doing eternal significance, Lord, and not worldly significance, that you would get all the glory and praise that you are due, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak through my lips today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this is just a prophecy update for you, and I thought you would be excited to hear this.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you guys are doing our blessed this morning. Again, if you're subscribed to this channel, we are watching for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming soon, and we're going to be watching on this channel. Now, we've been, one of my recent videos, I was talking about all the recent archaeological discoveries, that are validating the Bible is the Word of God. It's amazing, it's powerful, it's holy, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's playing out right in front of us. In fact, what I wanted to share with you this morning was actually I was reading something from the Jerusalem Post, and it was absolutely incredible to read. Check this out. An article just came out from the Jerusalem Post titled, Foxes Seen Walking Near the Western Wall, Fulfilling Biblical Promise. Let me read some of this to you. According to the biblical prophecy, now that the barren temple has become a walking ground for foxes, so it will be rebuilt. As the Jewish world is counting the days to the ninth of Av, the date on which Jews mourn the destruction of the two temples in Jerusalem following its destruction by the Romans, foxes have been spotted walking near the Western Wall, a press release reported on Thursday. It is written in the Book of Lamentations, which is read on the ninth of Av. That's absolutely incredible that in the Book of Lamentations, that's what they read on the ninth of Av, that Mount Zion, where the temple stood, will be so forgotten that foxes will walk in it. Check this out, Lamentations 5:18. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. The understanding, according to the Talmud, is that if Uriah's prophecies of destruction have thus been fulfilled, so will the ones about Zechariah, about the temple being rebuilt. Rabbi Shmuel Rabinowitz, the rabbi of the Western Wall and Holy Sites, referred to the photos of the foxes and commented, "One cannot refrain from crying at the sight of the fulfillment of the prophecy of foxes will walk on it." I figured I'd share that with you guys this morning. This is, I believe,
can you get to
incredible.
The, just the clip of it?
We continue just to witness again archaeological discoveries that are validating the Word of God on a more frequent basis.
Yeah, go ahead and pause it and pull up the other video of Jesse. Just close it. And then, so here is, just a small clip of that actually happening. Let's go ahead and go to Psalm 96 now. And the reason why I shared that with you is I titled this song, as we read through Psalm 96, Praise, Worship, Witness, Eagerly Anticipate. And so let's read the Psalm 96 together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. That's what we were doing this morning, folks, as we were singing all these songs. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. And let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And I thought this was a great psalm as we come back together as a church body and get kind of redirected on where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. And there were a few points on our trip this past week with my family where I could say our family said, wow, like looking at the power of God. And one point was a storm that we just saw the sheer power of God who creates. And this was actually just a picture of, I want you to see that the clouds, because I was thinking about the Lord riding upon the clouds. This was right after a powerful storm came through. Sheer wind was like blowing strollers and stuff down the street. And the lightning was so intense, and the thunder, like right there, like you could feel the buzz, the energy, as it was crashing down. The clouds I thought were surreal, and I just thought of the Lord coming down on the clouds, swooping down and swinging up his, scooping up his bride, saying, "Okay, it's time." That trumpet sound. I remember Jen and I went to dinner one night, and we were on the 15th floor of a restaurant, and we could see a mass storm coming in and just the wall of rain as it approached. And you could just see it move across the land. And that's our God is the creator of things. He controls the weather. And so Jesse saw this. I don't know if you can see that, but this was like early morning, and that was a rocket getting shot up, and a satellite getting shot up into the sky, and you could see how bright and white light, just taking over the sky, and that's from 100 plus miles away, by the way, that you could see it that vibrantly. And light up the sky, bright light. And she, too, at that point, thought of the Lord's coming. She thought the skies would open. She was waiting for the trumpet to sound. And so I could say just from this, and this is just a little fun just to share a little bit. But I can say truly that our family is anticipating the Lord's return and the Lord's coming. That's where we should be at as Christians. And so I ask the question, where is your heart and your mind each and every day? Where is it stayed upon? Because the psalmist truly reminds us as believers the state that we should be in, that we need to be in an attitude of praise, an attitude of worship, being ready to witness to anybody and everybody, and eagerly anticipating the Lord's return. So our job is to occupy this world and to point others to Christ until he comes to take us home. And we do that by praising our Lord with an attitude of worship. And that is the goal. If we are in an attitude of worship and praising our Lord, what comes from the inside will reveal your heart and where it's focused on. Is it focused on the Lord? And you can feel the psalmist write as we read through that. It's like a build. It's like a swelling climax to the point of the Lord's return, as he goes through and explains it. And if you want, read through it again and think about that, it's like a wave, it just kind of builds. And it's a call to praise. It's a call to witness the nations of salvation and the glory of the psalmist, and it swells to the Lord's coming. He is coming, that's what it says. And so, the points of going through this is really, like I said, to redirect us. And the one point I have is singing a new song. The Lord has put a new song in our hearts. And three times he says sing. So he says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among the people. In Psalm 40, verse 3, it says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. For many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Is that where your trust is today? Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That is what that song, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. He is the only portion you need. The Lord is our portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. So sing, you're singing a new song. He's put a new song in your heart, and you sing it to all the earth. A call for all of creation to sing the praises to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. We need to praise and thank God for all that he is and all that he has done for us. Why? There is no other name. No other name other than Jesus. No other name. We sang that song, yours will be. That. When I sing that song, I think about, like, even today I should be saying that. Yours will be. That's the only name that I should be thinking about. Acts 4, 8 through 12, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected to you by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. You're proclaiming the good news of his salvation day to day. That's what we should be doing, looking for opportunities to share, not to cram it down people's throats, but to look and listen. Let the Holy Spirit direct you and give you those opportunities to speak into someone's life. Good news. You may not see the fruit of their salvation, but you start sowing those seeds. Jesus called us to do that. Matthew 26, 18 through 20, the Great Commission, Jesus came and spoke to you and said, all authority has been given to me. Why? Because there's no other name. In heaven and on earth, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. He resides inside us. That's like Caitlin reminds me all the time, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my heart. And I think that's fantastic that we've got, childlike faith. He is in our heart. He is there with us. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He's with us. Declaring his glory among the nations. It's inclusive to salvation to all who believe. Not just Jews, but to all, the Gentiles as well. Declaring his wonders among all the peoples. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6 says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The glory of God revealed. So, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's commanded the darkness to flee and the light to know that the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Declare his glory among the nations. We're talking about salvation. It's just another point. That wonder of salvation, that song that we sing, the wonder. Have you ever seen the wonder? The wonderful works of our Savior. Once your eyes were opened, right? How can you not share the wonder of our Lord once your eyes have been opened? You've been changed. You are a new creation in him. I think if we can get a glimpse of that, of the glory of God, and harness that, hold on to that. Do you get to go? Okay. You know, we can be a vessel of honor, like really make an impact on our world. Our world. I'm talking about those who you have influence over, those who you come in contact with, because there's something peculiar about you, and you eagerly want to share that. Point two, our God is great. He's higher and above all. And that's what the psalmist is saying. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Why is our Lord to be feared? Because he's the first and the last. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. All other gods are idols, man-made, man-created. They mean nothing. Actual interpretation says it is good, like, as idols, man-made idols, that they're good for nothing. They are worthless. All other gods, good for nothing, worthless. Psalm 33, 6 through 9 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded it, and it stood fast. Wow. Think, you know, as we sing that song, Beautiful, I love that. Think how the psalmist describes our Lord. He says, honor, honor and majesty. So honor, there's splendor, excellency, and there's majesty, which is ornament, splendor, and glory that are before him. There's strength, there's a power, there's a force, there's a might that he has. Can you imagine speaking the world into existence? The force of which light, when he commanded it to shine. And beauty, the finery of garments and jewels and glory, renowned and honor, are in his sanctuary. I mean, they paved the streets with gold in heaven. The thing that man finds most value in here on earth, they pave streets with in heaven. that's amazing. Like, that's why we can't comprehend the things that he has for us. I'm not talking about material. I'm just saying, like, the beauty and the splendor and the wonder and the glory. It's just amazing. And Peter and John got to experience that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You had three of them. Sing, 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 right? Now give, give, give. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved, for he shall judge the peoples righteously. I love how the focus goes to give, which nothing can we give to the Lord, because all that we have is because of him. But give here is exactly that we offer up praise to him, and that is our sacrifice. That is our gift. Give, like, come now. Now is the time to worship him. Now is the time to worship him in spirit and truth. He gave it all, and because he gave it all, we need to give him praise. Hebrews 13, verses 15 through 16 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continuously. That's what it says. Praise, the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We are to give praise, we're to be in worship, and we are to do good for the kingdom of God. That's what we are called to do. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Like when you're actually serving the Lord, when you are walking with the Master and you are doing his business, kingdom business, are you doing it with gladness? Or you got like a, if you, or do you just got like a grudge? Like you just kind of like, ugh. Well, the glory of the Lord is upon me. Let me just share something with you. You know, or is there gladness in your heart? Are you excited to share him? Come before his presence with singing. That's why when we come together, we sing. We sing before we enter, before we get into communion. So we are giving sacrifices of praise and worship. And I hope you do that just not just on Sunday, even if it's in your mind, because I know some of you guys don't like to sing, but in your mind, if you're even if you're directing that, you know, praise and worship for who he is. Looking at the splendor when you see a sunset or sunrise. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the breath in my lungs today. We enter into his courts with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Your mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Our Lord is great and he's glorious and he's beautiful. Think about those who saw the glory of the Lord, his holiness and his splendor. There's two examples that I see in that, not just the Mount Transfiguration. I'm saying where, I'm talking about like trembling with fear, where Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 5, right? Isaiah gets ushered into the throne room, and I'll read it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and two he flew. And one cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. I think about that post of the door was shaken. It's almost like a thunder, that thunder that I heard on, you know, on that on our trip where it just kind of rattled inside. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am done, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He really just saw the robe. He didn't even get to see him face to face. John, in the book of Revelation, is ushered in and sees the Lord Jesus in a glorified state. He says, in verse 12, chapter 1, Revelation, he says, "I turned to see the voice that spoke with me." This is John, the one who probably was closest to Jesus, the one who put his head on his chest at the Last Supper. I mean, the one whom Jesus loved. That's his title, the one whom he loved. And this is him. He says, "Having turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." The one whom Jesus loved, the one who was closest to him, when he saw him in his glorified state, he just fell like, just like Isaiah, like, "Woe is me, I am undone." But he laid his right hand onto me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." Though we have not been blessed, such as John or Isaiah, to see the Lord with our own eyes, one day we will. And we get these opportunities to see glimpses of him through creation and read about him in his word, that we can dwell on those thoughts. And the truth is, when we look at where we were
prior to salvation, how depraved we were, how lost we truly were. I think at that point, how lost our souls were, and like our eyes had been opened, you see this like great divide of where we were and to the glory of God, this huge contrast, this huge gaping distance between lost forever to splendor and majesty of our Lord. And as you grow in the Lord, that intensifies. The power of His grace intensifies in your life. It becomes magnified as you grow in the Lord, because you become the fullness. You get to know the fullness of His love, the fullness of His grace, the fullness in the knowledge of Him. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Verse 10, the world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved, for He shall judge the peoples righteously. In Psalm 2, it talks about, you know, man has their plans, they create battles. We went through that. We actually studied that psalm. And the Lord allows man to make his plans only to bring about what the Lord designs. You know, He's got things that He's doing, working through, all for our good. But He reigns, and He is going to have all underneath His feet. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 27. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for He has put all things under His feet. But when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He put all things under Him is expected. The last enemy is death. He already conquered it. But when He comes and takes us and we're in a glorified state, that which we were once created to do in the garden will be forevermore. The bottom line is our Lord came first as a lamb to be slain. But when He returns the second time, He is going to return with the armies of heaven on a charger, roaring like a lion, the King of Kings. He reigns, folks. He reigns. That should excite you. He reigns. He's in control. When you're feeling a little anxious, He reigns. He's in control. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming. All creation is currently groaning, waiting for the Lord to return that which was back in order. It's right there in Romans 8, 19 through 22. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. He is coming to set things in order, folks. He will judge the world according to His righteousness, and those who have believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be clothed in His righteousness. That's what we sang. All these songs, and these songs were picked out already by Katie, who didn't even know what I was preaching on. So it's pretty awesome. That's how awesome the Holy Spirit is when you're in tune. Those who have refused to bend their knee will be judged for their works, for they are as filthy rags, folks. What a horrible day for those not in Christ. What a horrible day. They will be cast into utter darkness with no hope. Yet for us in Christ, it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we sang, as we sang the end there, we're saying when we arrive at eternity's shore, and we sang at the end there, just we were saying, Alleluia. When we were worshiping there, that was given like this passage, which is when we arrive at eternity's shore, folks, when the marriage supper, this was preached at Ed and Kathy's renewal, Revelation 19:6-8 says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, because we've partaken in Jesus's righteousness. And with that scripture and picture in mind, we need to praise our Lord. We need to worship him for all that he is. We need to not shy away from sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to anyone willing to listen. Witness, folks, witness. And so we occupy this world and we eagerly await his return to set things right. That's the attitude we need to bring. Praise, worship, witness, and eagerly anticipate his return. He is coming, folks. The signs are here. He is coming again soon. Not date setting. But we are supposed to be about his business. And we are supposed to be looking for the season of his return. And that should give us a spirit of, anticipation. Thank you for the word. A spirit of anticipation to want to share with others the good news that set us free. We're free. And we're free indeed because we are in Christ. Others are not. They think they're free, but they're bondage to sin. They're captive. They're captive to the enemy of our souls. If you're praising and you are in an attitude of worship, it comes out inside you. I guarantee you'll have opportunities to witness then. And you can share about the blessed hope that we cling to in the return of our Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, and that it would excite us, Lord, to be about kingdom business, to keep our mind and our focus stayed on you, that the enemy cannot flood our mind with thoughts of this world, anxiousness, anything that exalts itself above you, Jesus Christ. We cast that down underneath your feet, Lord. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.